Hallelujah! That's what it is, the river of God. And it's the anointing of God, the presence of God in our lives that changes us. And we are excited to talk about that today.
Yes, we are.
On Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and beside me is my wonderful associate pastor, who I love with all my heart, Pastor Jim Elsberry.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And Pastor Jim, I heard you did a really good job while I was gone a couple weeks ago.
That's what people said.
Yeah. Ooh, all right. Yes.
You know I love to get up and teach.
It was 2 weeks ago. I think it was August the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
That show you hosted with Deb and Alice,
right.
And I was in Indiana with my precious children and grandchildren for a week, and it was wonderful to be gone, but always wonderful to come home. Yes, Bill.
From the Living the Good Life news desk, this just in. Pastor Jim said Pastor Marcia did one of her best sermons today.
So, right, Engineer Bill, that is what Pastor Jim said, which was amazing to me that he thought that. So, it was an incredible service today. I lost some of my mascara with the crying thing going on today. Not the mascara, I guess the eyeliner. I don't know, Nan. Something I lost over here, my sidekick over here to my right, Nan. I tell you, Pastor Jim, what a move of God again today.
It was different today, which,
yes.
You know, we serve, you know, God is so varied.
Isn't he wonderful?
In the way that he works.
Woo.
And it wasn't like last week. Last week was demonstrations of just
the gifts
power.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
yes.
Just
it was
demonstrations
wild.
Of power.
Yes.
Today it was subtle.
Ooh.
I mean, it was still powerful.
The altar was lying today.
But it wasn't so much that the gifts were manifested. But it's just, there was just an inner move of God, maybe,
that
rather than
exactly
an outer move.
That is what it was.
I think, you know, just the sermon and the way that the Lord moved brought us all to a deeper place.
Yes.
A place of recommitment. You know, and I have to go back 2 weeks to when I hosted this, and I made Connie play that song, Let Me Rediscover You.
That's a great song. Yes.
And that maybe fit in today's.
Oh, it does. Yes.
Know, what happened this morning. I think we were at the point of rediscovering God and moving deeper.
Amen.
With God.
And we're really going to carry that on today on Living the Good Life. And I think today's title would be called Belonging to the Lord. And we are in this series we started last Sunday, Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God. This is part two of that, Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God. And we will bring those scriptures back in a little while, where those were in Matthew that we use as our, it's from the Message Bible in Matthew 9:35-38. So we will be bringing that in just a moment, but it is an amazing thing when the Spirit of God moves us in a service and there's hardly a dry eye. I heard sniffling everywhere. Everywhere. It was wild. And God was doing a fresh work, Pastor Jim. You are exactly right about that. He was moving in a new way, in a deeper way.
Yeah. And that again kind of fits in with what I preached on 2 weeks ago was the 30-60-100, and how while we don't leave the gifts behind as we mature in Christ, we move on to a deeper, a more intimate relationship. And sometimes, like today, I think just the move of God was so neat today because it wasn't big and flashy, but it was as powerful, I think, as any other move.
Oh, absolutely. It was. And it was that inner work, that deeper commitment that was going on around the room, and people were getting it.
Yeah.
And just a wild time. I don't know about you, but I just love what God is doing. And he does what is so cool, and maybe you just mentioned this, or we talked about it before the show started just now, but how he does he uses different methods, doesn't he, to get our attention.
Right. And today it was, just when the word... It's almost like the word was really the sword today.
Yes,
and
it was.
It was piercing into us.
Ooh.
And
amen.
I mean, because you know, you gave the altar call, and you know, we came. A bunch of us went up to the altar,
right?
And it just it was. It's just hard to explain. You know, listeners, you got to be there. Okay,
yes.
Come well, visit us.
Absolutely. And if you're not in the Tampa Bay area and you're planning a trip down, we want you to make a visit to Beacon of Hope and come and enjoy a mm-hmm. service. We're not huge. We're not at all. We're small but mighty.
Yes, we are.
We are small but mighty, so you won't be having to run into a couple thousand people. It's not like that. It's small, but the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit moving in our services is just incredible. Wednesday night, a Bible study, what God was doing, Pastor Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, my. We started teaching on the ministry gifts, which is the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. I got them mixed up in order there. But as that teaching went along, people began to open up, and there wasn't a dry eye Wednesday night either. Did you realize the amount of Kleenex we went through mm-hmm. just in two services? We'll have to get more. That's okay. All right. Anyway, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and visit us. We want to meet you, and you get to know us. And we're at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. And an easy location to get to right off of 275
right.
and just right near US 19. So we've got a good position, good place there, right behind a bunch of great restaurants. So easy to find. So we're excited about what God's doing in the ministry here in Tampa, actually Clearwater, and also what God's doing in the outreach around the globe. And there are some of you that have said that you're having trouble. A little trouble sometimes with your internet signal going out and coming back. So if you're having any issues today, we want you to call this number during the show. Engineer Bill is beside the phone, and he wants to hear from you.
Thank you.
And the number is 727-441-3000. I take it you still have us on video right now.
Yes, video did not kill the radio star.
It really?
Because you are a radio star.
Aw, you are just a sweetheart and so cute. Y'all should see this guy. He's just a sweetheart.
Watch out, Paula White.
Okay, then. All right. So anyway, if you're having any kind of trouble, if your signal stops and you have to restart it, we want to hear from you today because we need to correct whatever is going on there with the server. So call Engineer Bill. He'll answer the phone, 727-441-3000. Pastor Jim.
Or you can email us.
Pastor at...
BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com.
It's up and it's running and it's ready. And we did hear from people last week, and it was good to hear from people. You can just send us a, hey, you all are cute, or you can send us a message, a word, a question, a comment on what we're teaching on today, whatever you want to. Pastor@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. That's my email, by the way. And during the week, if you want to reach Pastor Jim, his is Pastor Jim. @BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. So you can reach either one of us directly, and we will respond to your emails. Listen to this first song by Brandon Heath, The Light in Me.
My life before you, I was a flame burning down. I was burning. Something was different. I knew at the end.
Praise God. That's a new song. I haven't heard that. That's a great song. You put the light in me. Praise God. He does do that, Pastor Jim. He puts the light in us so that we can do something with it.
Right.
You know, and I tell you, so often I think a lot of Christians get stagnant in their walk with the Lord, and it just gets to the point where it is, I got to go to church. There's no excitement. There's no real fulfillment going on. And God is calling in this day for deeper commitment from each of us.
Yes.
That he's not wanting us to play church. If you're going to play church, you might as well stay home,
right.
You know. But if you're going because you need the Word of God and you are thirsty and you are dry ground and you need a refreshing, that's what it's all about.
And that's the reason to go to church.
That's exactly right.
You know, I mean, I think probably all of us in our past at some point have played church.
Absolutely.
But... You know, and I know I did until I met the Lord.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'd go to church because it was the thing to do. It was a social thing. Some of the kids from high school went to the same church
right.
I did.
Right.
But, you know, once I got saved.
Wow.
Whew,
changed
I
your
wanted,
life.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to go to church. And,
right.
And at that point, I was going to the Methodist church. But the first thing I noticed was after I got saved.
Right.
All those hymns took on a completely different meaning.
Exactly. You began to really understand why you were there.
And I look at the words and it's like I'd never sung this hymn before.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Woo.
We were talking today at Beacon of Hope about Exodus chapter 3 and the place in Moses' life. Moses had three sections in his life, three distinct sections. The first one was the first 40 years of Moses' life, where he was raised in Pharaoh's court as really the grandson of the king, because Pharaoh's daughter found him in a basket. And you all remember that story of Moses in the basket in the Nile River and how the princess basically took him home. I don't think she really actually claimed him as her own, though, for a while. She did claim him as her own. I mean, let me back up. But she allowed Moses' real mother to care for him, didn't she?
Yeah.
Jochebed, wasn't it?
Jochebed, yeah.
Yeah. And oh, I pronounced it Jochebed. But what, how do you pronounce
I think
it?
I think it's actually both ways.
Okay.
In the Bible. I mean,
all right.
Spelled both ways. But
all right.
Yeah, because the sister was there, and she watched, and in verse 7 of chapter 2, it says, "Then the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse?'"
Right.
Well, of course she called Moses' mother.
Right. You Isn't know. That great? Yeah. Because there was a thing of they were killing the baby boys
right.
at this time. And they didn't want any of the baby boys, the Israelite baby boys. Do you want to comment on that as to why they were doing that and who they were?
The Pharaoh.
Right. Threatened by those Israelites, right?
He was very threatened because they were becoming so numerous. And when we know that later, you know, some 80 years after this, when Moses led them out,
right.
there was 603,000 men.
Right.
So probably around 1.5 to 2 million people total.
Exactly.
So I think the Pharaoh was saying they're just getting too numerous. We've got to do something. So he let the girls live. But if a male child was born, it had to be killed.
Right.
So Moses' mother hid him for as long as she could, then put him in the basket, and lo and behold, he floated right over to the Pharaoh's daughter.
And that is so God, how he sets things up, right?
Mm-hmm.
God's timing in our lives. So for the first 40 years of Moses' life, he really belonged in the kingly court. He was presented as the Pharaoh's grandson.
Right. She adopted him. So.
And he did all the priestly things, or the princely things.
Princely
I mean,
things.
Not priestly, but princely things in Pharaoh's court. He was an Egyptian, even though he was a Hebrew, because he was born a Hebrew. He was still in that. Was he from the tribe of Levi?
Levi.
Yes, that's what I was just thinking. From the tribe of Levi, which are the priests.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting that here's Moses for the first 40 years. Now, something very profound happened to Moses in his 40th year. He saw a Hebrew and an Egyptian fighting. And he intervened. And in so doing, the Egyptian was killed.
Right.
So Moses became a murderer. And this had been growing in him that these were his people.
Right.
He began to understand. And so even though he, on the surface, appeared to belong to the Pharaoh as his grandson, he really belonged to the Hebrew nation as what would become their deliverer.
Right.
But he did not know that at the time.
No.
And so today we are talking about belonging to the Lord, and we're really going to bring this home today and what it takes, what God expects of us and what he does in us so that that is, our lives are changed profoundly forever when we find out who we really are.
And Moses is a great example of that.
Yes. Comment on that. What happened to him after that 40th year?
Well, he had to flee, so he went to the land of Midian.
Yes.
And there he met Jethro.
Yes.
Goes by also by the name of Reuel.
Right.
Who had some daughters, and he married Zipporah, who you like to call Zippy.
Yes, I like to call her Zippy. Zippy the bird, because her name means bird.
Bird.
Zippy.
Zipporah. And, you know, he was there for 40 years. And he had a son, Gershom.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure where in there Gershom was born, although a little bit later on, he ends up being circumcised on the way back to Egypt.
Right.
So I don't think he was terribly old. But his name means stranger in a strange land.
Right.
So if I'm a foreigner here.
Right.
And Moses understood his people. He still had that. He still understood that the Midianites, too, just like the Egyptians, were not his people.
They were not his people.
It was the Hebrews. And so in 40 years, he tended sheep. And I was thinking about this morning while you were preaching.
With my preachers, my pastors.
With your rod there.
With my shepherd's staff rod that I had with me
and
today.
I was thinking, well, you know, here Moses comes from the being princely. I mean, in the court of Egypt.
Right.
In the royal court of Egypt. And ends up tending desert, I believe, as the King James said, on the backside of the desert.
Backside of the desert,
you know,
yeah.
And I think that's just so descriptive. I mean, here he was. Wealthy, well thought of,
right?
Princely, you know, in the line, obviously, to become Pharaoh. If something had happened to the others, he would have been there.
Right.
And here he is out tending sheep in the desert.
Right.
Now, that had to be terribly humbling. And yet, it molded his character. It got him ready for what was going to happen. I don't think Moses would have been called of God had he stayed in Egypt.
He would not have. I agree with you.
Because there were some characteristics of Moses that needed to be broken. And I've seen about this because I'm actually reading some in Deuteronomy. You know, Moses still had some issues, even on his 120th year.
Right.
But so there were obviously things God had to work with him on, work through with him, to get him to the point where he would be the one to deliver Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. And so, you know, that took 40 years.
40 years.
So now he's 80 years old.
He's 80 years old when we find him in Exodus chapter 3. And Moses is busy shepherding the flock. And all of a sudden, he runs into this very odd situation. And it's in Exodus 3:3. And Moses looks and sees a bush that is on fire and not being burnt up.
Right.
And so Moses goes closer to it. He goes, what's going on here? I can't believe this. This is amazing. Why isn't this bush burning up? And God saw that he stopped to look. I like that. Because, guys, and I don't think I mentioned that this morning, we need to stop and look at what God is doing. Okay, we too often get caught up in our lives and our busy schedule that we don't see what God is really doing in our life and in those around us. And God loved it that Moses stopped and he looked. Okay, you say, well, how can you not notice a burning bush that's not being burned up?
I think some people would ignore it.
I think some people would have run.
Yeah, they would have been maybe scared or...
Right.
Well, this must just be a figment of my imagination, or...
Well, absolutely.
You know,
maybe,
trying to rationalize, well, okay, maybe it's burning up. I'm just not noticing it.
Maybe I ate bad pizza last night and I'm sick.
But Moses went to investigate.
He went to investigate. And then from the bush, he hears a voice. I mean, this is wild. Moses, Moses. And he goes, yes, I'm right here. I love that. God calls him by name. God calls him by name. God knows our name. God calls him by name. That's very important, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the word here in Hebrew is hineni.
Okay.
The same word was used when God called Abraham.
Yes.
And when God called Isaiah, when he said, here am I, that's hineni.
Yes.
Here am I.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Woo! So God says, wait a minute, don't come any closer. Take your shoes off, which was an Oriental custom that when out of respect, people took their shoes mm-hmm. off. But I love the rest of that because we do that song so often. You're standing on holy ground. And for my people in Indiana, y'all remember our dear Sylvia who would, there was nobody that could belt that song out like Sylvia. I mean, woo! You're standing on holy ground. And then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Moses hid his face and was afraid to look at God. And then God begins to tell him in Exodus 3, I know all about the affliction of your people. And he explains to Moses that he has heard their cries for deliverance, and he wants to do something about it. And I really feel that this is extremely important when we come to being used of God as a harvest hand. You know, harvest hands are the kingdom of God. And today we're going to talk about what does God look at in us? What does he see in us that he says, hey, I can use you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did God see in Moses? Well, one thing we know is that for 40 years, Moses walked the desert shepherding sheep and having a very lowly job,
right,
really.
Right.
Right? And with a good attitude.
And I think Moses had to be broken.
Yes.
Ooh. You know, it's... well, I think there's an old Terry Talbot song from...
Okay.
Some, you know, 30 years ago.
All right. You can remember back that long.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
About the alabaster cask of oil.
Yes.
And talking about how it had to be broken.
I remember that.
In mm-hmm. order so that the fragrance could fill the room. And we have to come to that point where we allow ourselves to be broken
Amen.
Before God.
Amen.
Because in his life, the fragrance then
yes.
can come out. His life can come out of us. And sometimes I know at least in my life, that tends to be a repeated process. Because
it is a repeated process, and it's stages, isn't it?
Right.
And seasons that we go through. But God continually calls for deeper commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Moses was in the courts of Pharaoh, you know, he was pretty cool. You know, you can just kind of see him walking around. You know, I always think of Charlton Heston, you know, in the movie. I mean,
how can you not? You know.
And, you know, I think he looked like Moses, or Moses looked like him. And so cool, you know, just. Rah, rah, rah. But then he goes through that another 40 year period of time, mm-hmm. his second 40 years. And I mean, you know, if I were Moses, I probably would have been saying, God, can't you do this season pretty quick? You know, I mean, you know, but it's so interesting because 40 is the number for wilderness, trial, testing. So God gave Moses basically three 40-year segments in his life, mm-hmm. which so interesting is the 30, 60, 100 also mm-hmm. when you think of that, because that 30-fold realm, that beginning realm with Moses, with God, was just, you know, a relationship, but not real deep, you
right,
know?
Right. And then he knew his people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'd heard about his people's God.
Right.
But then he gets in the desert and that breaking starts.
Oh, my.
And then the last 40 years, ooh-wee.
That's when, oh, my, you know? And Moses saw miracles in that last 40 mm-hmm. and all kinds of things happen. Okay, so here we are in Exodus 3, and God reassures Moses that he knows about the suffering of his people. And he remembers his covenant, but he wants to bring them out. I love this. I am in about verse 8, I think, of Exodus 3. He wants to bring them out to a good land with wide open spaces. They lived in little tiny sections of that end of the city there, didn't they, in Egypt? I mean,
yeah,
area called Goshen.
They lived in the land of Goshen.
It was just
a good land. It just wasn't huge.
Right. And they just were kind of all in there. About that. If they went from the 12 patriarchs that started all this, that came to Egypt with Joseph when Joseph was, You know,
right. They started out with 70 going to Egypt.
And now we're talking about almost a couple million people. Mm-hmm. And you think about that, wow, that had to be pretty darn cramped. So he says, I'm going to bring you out into a good land with wide open spaces. That had to sound good. A land lush with milk and honey. The land of the Canaanite and so forth. All of these that he was bringing them to. And he says in verse 9 of Exodus 3, I've heard their cries, and I've seen for myself how cruelly they've been treated. And it is time to do something about this. In the Message Bible, the next phrase is, I don't know which translation are you in today?
Amplified.
All right, Amplified. Where God says to him, I'm sending you. Now, if you all listened to our radio show last week, which was part one of the Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God series, if you didn't get it, you need to go. It's on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to that radio show and listen to it. It was so anointed. It was a powerful, powerful show, and it was all about God sending us. And here we see it again, Pastor Jim. God finds Moses and says, and during that 40 years, he's been talking to Moses all the time. Right. Go ahead.
And he says, I'm going to send you.
Yeah, I'm sending you.
And then I love what Moses said. Who am I that you should send me to Pharaoh? Well, okay, Moses, let's think about this.
Right.
First of all, you grew up in the Egyptian court.
Right.
So you're pretty well suited to know
how to get in and out, what the passwords are.
Well, and court etiquette, which was so important.
Yeah, you know, it really was
all
important.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I love what God says at the beginning of verse 12. I will surely be with you.
Yes.
Okay? I'm not sending you alone, Moses. I will surely be with you. He said the same thing to Jeremiah.
Joshua. In fact, that promise, I will be with you, is the most frequent promise in the Word of God. I didn't figure this out, but Kenneth Copeland did, I believe. I give him the credit. That's where I think I first heard it. 365 times in the Word of God, it says, I will be with you. Or something like that, like I'll never leave you or forsake you. 365 times, which is one for every day. Go ahead with that. Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, he says... And he says, this will be a sign, even though by the time that this sign, particular sign was fulfilled, all these other signs had taken place. But he said, just a final reminder, you're going to come back and worship me on this mountain,
yes.
You and all the Israelites. Well, of course, in between that, when he spoke it and when it happened, was the plagues of Egypt, the great Exodus,
right.
All that stuff.
The Red Sea.
The Red Sea parting. So, you know, Moses had a whole bunch of signs in between.
Exactly.
But God said, this is kind of the final sign.
Exactly.
And you're going to tell them, you know, we're going to worship on this mountain. And sure enough,
it happened. But I love, before we get Carolyn here, I want to make this point here in verse 11. Moses says, why me? Like you just said here. And in Moses' own physical strength, he was a stutterer. He had a speech problem, and he really wanted God to understand that he didn't think he was the man for the job, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, he kept saying, at one point he said, I'm slow of speech. I have an impediment. I don't talk well. And then he finally said, just send somebody else.
Right.
And God said, okay, your brother Aaron... I'll talk to you. You talk to Aaron. Aaron will talk to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
We'll do it that way.
Right. And so God did meet him where he was, but yet he didn't let Moses off the hook.
And if you read through the rest of when Moses appeared before the Pharaoh,
right.
After a while, it wasn't Aaron doing
it. Wasn't.
The time.
It was Moses. He just had to get over his stage fright, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, he had to. And Moses said, okay, now I'm going there. All right, I understand that. But they're going to ask who sent me, you know, by what authority. I love this. And he says, who shall I tell them sent me? And he says, tell them, I am who I am. Tell the people, I am sent you to them. Whoa, I am. And that is the word Yahweh. Do you want to expound on that?
Yeah, it comes from the word, the Hebrew word to be, Hayah.
Yes. Yeah.
So it talks about God's name. his personal name is who he is. I mean, in the Hebrew culture, your name was who you were.
Exactly.
And so the name is basically the one who is.
The one who is.
The one who is and the one who will be.
Right.
So it just shows that God is the self-existent one. He doesn't depend on anybody else
right.
for his existence. He is the self-existent, immutable, unchanging, everlasting God.
Omnipresent. Mm-hmm.
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent. Omniscient. Knows all things. All of those omni things he is, you know, which means he's got all of that going on. So why does he pick certain people for certain tasks? And we are going to talk about that today on Living the Good Life. Carol, are you there with us?
I'm here.
Are you? All right. You know, you and I, through the years now, because you've been a part of Beacon of Hope for a number of years, you have heard us talk about people in the ministry, let's say, that we looked at and we said, wow, God can really use them. They have this talent or that talent. And yet, you and I have been around this, and Pastor Jim has too, long enough to know that some of those very ones who we thought would just really grab hold and do the work of the Lord somehow just fell away.
I think it has to do with really understanding when the great I Am says to you, you are mine, I have chosen you.
Yes.
And very often, I think people get on an ego high when that occurs, and perhaps they fall into a ministry or begin a ministry, and everybody all of a sudden is making them feel very puffed up and proud and sitting mm-hmm. on top of that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it all boils down to we are to be humble as servants. We are
Absolutely.
To serve God with a loving, compassionate heart with great humbleness.
Yes.
We are not to be exonerated. It is Him and His Word and His life that is to be exonerated. And quite often, I think people forget that.
I think we get people in the ministry, you're right, Carol, I think they do get puffed up a lot of times from the attention and that kind of thing. And I have often said this through the years, don't put me on a pedestal because I'm going to fall off. Because that is, and I have, and it's not, God does not want the person to be seen, but the life of that person. And that's what we want to talk about today on Living the Good Life. Just like, look at Moses. It's not about the fact that once upon a time he was Pharaoh's grandson. It's not about that. It's about the 40 years that God spoke to him mm-hmm. in the backside of the wilderness. Pastor Jim, comment on that, and I'll get back to Carol.
Well,
just a minute.
That's the important. Before God can use us, he has to mold us and break us.
Oh, my.
Discipline us, and that can be tough. I mean, you know, we've all been through it. It can be very difficult because, you know, it's like you think of a lump of clay,
right?
Very biblical example.
It is a biblical example.
But if the potter's clay,
and right, I think
and
Jeremiah 18.
It's like, you know, God's molding
yes,
you into something,
yes.
into a vessel of honor, as Paul said.
Exactly.
And that can be a painful process. I'm sure it was for Moses. You mentioned David this morning. David, the youngest of his brothers.
Yes.
Okay, he got basically the crap job. He got to go tend the sheep all the time.
But again, isn't that interesting? He and Moses both were doing the sheep
yeah.
thing. I find that great.
We know what David was doing. Sure, I got a, you know, not so great of a job here. But you know what? I got plenty of time to spend with God.
Exactly.
On this job.
And don't you think that was critical to the molding of David and Moses? And Carol, you are a retired sheep farmer.
Well, I've been a shepherd for a long, long time.
She really has, guys.
I agree with the fact that we do have to be broken and molded. And sometimes that breaking is, as Pastor Jim says, extremely difficult, extremely painful. But it is necessary to take ourselves out of ourselves mm-hmm. and begin the indwelling of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us. And when we refuse to yield on that first or second or third or fifth call, which we know is in our hearts, and the call gets stronger and it gets louder, then I think that there are times that we find ourselves broken, whatever the reason, whatever the way. In my own particular case, I was getting ready to retire, and I said, I heard the call so many times I heard it, but the call, I thought, look, I have 5 years to retire. Then I'll heed what you say for me to do, and I'll be totally yours. He didn't like that response. He kept saying, no, you're going to do it my way, Carol, because I've called you and I've called you now. So I ended up in a hospital bed in my home.
She did.
The only place I could look was up to the ceiling, which, of course, is, you know, is physically, we say that's toward heaven. And I became totally at the mercy of people who took care of me.
That was because of the ankle injuries, right?
It was the ankle, the knee, and the left elbow.
She took
and
a terrible fall.
All at one time.
All at one time.
And he made sure I was going to lay there and listen. Yet every person that he sent to me, with the exception of a couple, were strong Christians. The woman that ended up caring for me on a daily basis was a very strong Christian black lady.
Yes.
Who just sat there with me and talked to me about the goodness and the grace of God.
Praise
God. And answering the call.
Yes.
You know, and as a person who leads and led sheep, it is a lonely existence in a lot of ways. But for me, as it was for David, it was a way of knowing that I could be with God.
Yes.
Nobody else wanted to come and sit in the barn when something was giving birth.
Right.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed sleeping in the barn on the cold nights to make sure that they were all warm.
I can see you doing that, Carol. I can so see you doing that.
You know, that's what we have to do. We have to put ourselves above and beyond ourselves.
In fact,
and totally accept that God is working on us. He's going
exactly.
to do something marvelous if we just listen and learn the lessons, as small as they might be at the moment or as large as they may seem.
Carol, you're saying that you were willing to be inconvenienced, and I think that is what a shepherd has to do. And I think one of the reasons that this nation is disillusioned with church is because there have been a whole lot of shepherds who have not been willing to be inconvenienced for their people and have not been willing to understand that it's all about just getting the Word of God pumped into people into such a way that they can use it. And I think so often it does become a show, like we were talking earlier. It can so easily, especially if your name is famous and whatever, it can become a show instead of the humility of the heart that God is calling for here.
That's right. It becomes the me show, whoever me is.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And they're the ones that people put on a pedestal. You know, when I taught school for 30 years, and anything that I've ever done, and I've done a lot of public speaking, a lot of preaching and teaching in churches, and you know as well as I do that when you walk out, somebody wants to grab you and say, that was wonderful. That was wonderful, da-da-da. And they want to raise you up.
Right.
You can touch the roof. And I always, always, always say to them, don't put me on a pedestal.
Yeah.
I don't belong there. I'm going to fall. And then everything I've tried to teach you would not be a truth.
Exactly. Pastor Jim had a comment to that here.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I think, too, going along with what you said, Carol, sometimes I think people begin to learn the lessons, and then they forget the lessons.
And yeah.
And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't think God's tolerating that anymore because
yeah.
we've seen pastor after pastor
right.
and scandal after scandal. And God's
absolutely.
He's just not tolerating it anymore
no.
in the church. And
it's that that verse, be sure your sins will find you out.
Well, right. And,
it's really true.
And 1 Peter 4:17, judgment will begin in the house of the Lord.
That's right, yeah.
So I think we're, you know, and I think that's actually, if you submit to that, you know, then it becomes another step to your brokenness and your
yes.
the restoration of the ministry.
I don't think God is going to be mocked anymore. I think he's been mocked until he's just about got a crawl full, as we say in the country. And he just isn't, like you say, Pastor, he's not accepting it anymore. He wants his people who follow his direction, who follow his voice, who humbly lead people. people who fall in at his feet begging for grace and mercy themselves.
Yes, yes.
That's what he wants. He's tired
Amen.
Of the pompous hairdos, the pompous clothes, all of those things that make, as we used to say and still say, you know, that makes a man.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
What you put on in the way of jewelry or finery does not make the man or make
your
the woman.
Heart. It's your heart.
It's your heart. Relationship on a personal basis with God that you are willing to give to other people so that they can in turn live with you eternally.
Amen. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about here today. And we are going to discuss the attributes, not just of Moses, but of what God is calling his people to be. And he is. This is a new day, and it's a deeper day and a deeper walk with the Lord. Ooh, wow. Bill, let's do this new song by Casting Crowns, Somewhere in the Middle.
Somewhere between the hot and the cold. Somewhere between the new and the old. Somewhere between who I am and who I used to be. Somewhere in the find me. Somewhere between the wrong and the right. Somewhere between the darkness and the light. Somewhere between who I was and who you're making me. Somewhere in the middle you'll find. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle with eyes wide open to the differences. The God
my. I have never heard that song. That was recommended by our new guitar player, Aaron. And so we played that today, and I see why she loves that. That is exactly what we're talking about here, Pastor Jim and Carol. What getting caught in the middle there between my surrender and me controlling everything. You know, me wanting it my way, wanting to serve God, but wanting to do it on my terms, you know. It's just like with Moses, yeah, God, I see the plight of the people, and that's all cool, but why me? Why me, God? I mean, after all, I'm not this, and I'm not that. It's that question, that place, that space we get into where we don't want to surrender. Let's talk about surrender, Pastor Jim and Carol. Carol, you're up. Trading our dreams for his. And that is hard to do. We want to hang on to our dreams, our purpose, our, I want it this way, God, and I want it now. And if you do this, God, then yeah, I'll do this, you know. Carol, you want to comment on that? And then Pastor Jim.
Well, it's really strange that we would bring this subject up because, you know, like every other person in the world, you do seem to have a set of dreams and things you'd like to accomplish in your life. And I began at some point in my life, really very early, that I had very limited abilities and resources to change the things in my life to make them the way I really wanted them. And so what I began to do, and having a basis for spirituality as a very young girl, I began to realize that nothing I did would be accomplished without God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I did would be accomplished without a total commitment to
mm-hmm.
God. Unfortunately, there were times I was in circumstances that I had to put, because of relationships, I had to put my feeling about all of that under the table. But I never, when something, I would pray for something because I thought was what was needed, and it was delivered. I didn't shake my fist in there and go, yeah. I was quietly thinking, God, if you can do that little tiny thing for me, what can you do for me if I say I'm willing to do more, if I'm willing to do better? I put the world aside a long time ago, and I've never regretted it.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a total peace with Jesus Christ to take care of every single thing that I need. Do I go to him with supplications? Of course I do, not just for me, but for other people. That's one of the things that I feel I do best, is to serve him. And I've questioned many times, why me? And then I began to question, why not me?
Right.
You know, I'm not caught in the world.
Right.
I'm not caught in the schemes of the world. I just want to be a willing servant. I want to be a shepherd to whomever God says,
these
are the sheep of your field right now, Carol. Take care of them as best you can. When you don't understand or their problems are too big or their issues, come to me.
Amen. That's what it's all about.
And then I will show you how to help whoever is in front of you. I find it very humbling to me to be able to do that. I don't know necessarily why he chose me. But I'm certainly not going to run away from the call anymore.
Woo! Amen. Pastor Jim, comment on all that. Well, that's good stuff. Yes, this radio show's taking a different turn than what we thought. Of course, it always does. So we just go with the flow.
Kind of like your Sunday morning sermons.
Yes, just exactly like that. Yes, go ahead.
We all, I think, struggle with how much are we willing to give. And
right.
The more that, like Carol said, the more we give, the more we submit to God, and the more we give over to him, the more he uses us.
Yes.
And because we, you know, we're just that much more surrendered to him. And yeah, sometimes it's very hard. And, you know, sometimes I told God after I pastored a church in Chicago, I'll never do this again. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's never good to say that kind of thing to God, Pastor Jim.
I should have known better.
Because you know he's going to bring you back around, you know.
And it's funny, though, because I tried to start another ministry, another work in Chicago, and it just didn't go anywhere.
Right.
I mean,
that's because that wasn't where you were supposed to be doing the work, and you and your wisdom now understand that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Good,
Carol. Because, you know, within 3 weeks of moving to Florida, 2 or 3 weeks, I'd visited Beacon of Hope, and it's like, okay, I found it, should have done this. And it's funny because my partner and I were talking about that last night. We had gone down to Gulfport for the art walk, and we said, well, it's funny, you know, what if we'd had the money saved up in 2002 rather than, you know, because we didn't have enough money saved up to move till 2008. And I just looked at him and I said, it wasn't God's timing.
Right. God's timing is critical.
You know, 2002, I was fighting it tooth and nail. By 2008, we had the means and I had the peace.
Yes, and you were ready.
We're told in 2 Timothy 2:19 that the Lord knows those who belong to him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh,
you know, we can't take our Christian light, our gift that he's given to us, the fact that he's chosen us to do his work, we can't hide it regardless of where we go. We can go stand in the darkest closet in the darkest room,
mm-hmm.
make a sound, wearing the darkest clothes, and in my case, dye your hair jet black because it's almost completely snow white now. But to stand there and think, he doesn't see me. I'm hidden. He won't use me. And the next thing you know, something flings that door wide open, and you step out into this beautiful place that he's made for you to preach and to teach and to serve and be an example to all who enter.
Exactly. And we can run. I'll tell you what. We can run from the calling that God has on us, and it's going to come back and hit you in the face. Pastor Jim's got a verse here.
Yeah,
Carol, I love that. That was 2 Timothy 2:19.
Yes.
Okay, just a minute. Pastor Jim, go ahead.
Well, and I was thinking, too, of Jonah, who ran. And
oh, yes. We would think that right now because of the person sitting here at the table with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who did a little running herself.
A little running herself.
But she's not doing that anymore. She's not running anymore. But we don't call her Jonah anymore either.
No.
This is just one of our Beaconites who's sitting here with us today in the station. Go ahead, Pastor Jim.
Well, I was going to read out of Psalm 139.
Ooh, I love that, yeah.
Because David says, where in verse 7, where could I go from your spirit, or where could I flee from your presence?
Right.
If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the night shall be the only light about me, even the darkness hides nothing from you. But the night shines as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you.
Oh, amen. So here's Moses running around the desert for 40 years, having these conversations with God, but thinking probably he was just going to grow old there in the desert and, you know, have all these children and grandchildren and go ahead.
Have a nice relationship with God.
Yeah, but
not really do anything spectacular.
Right. That God wasn't going to tap him on the shoulder to be the deliverer for the children of Israel. Oh, my God is tapping people on the shoulder like he was today at Beacon of Hope. And Carol, when he touches you on the shoulder and says, I need you, you know, like that Uncle Sam poster that says that, doesn't it? That Uncle Sam poster where he's pointing his finger at you. I need you, you know.
Yeah.
And when that's happening in our lives, a lot of times we choose to rebel for a while. We choose to smart off, so to speak, you know, kind of like Moses did. But me, why me? You know, what are you talking about, God? We tend to argue, I think, like Jonah. You bring up Jonah, and Jonah was going, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, yeah, Jonah fled from God's presence, got on a boat headed for Spain.
Right.
And, you know, God
didn't even speak Spanish.
Yeah.
I know.
And God caused a big storm to come up.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Jonah couldn't hide it. I mean, they took lots, and all of a sudden
they realized, oh, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Overboard, you go.
Well, and Jonah said it. You're right. I'm running from the Lord. So just throw me overboard and everything will be fine. So they did. And, of course, Jonah got swallowed by a big fish. But that was his turning point.
Right.
In the belly of the fish.
Think about Isaiah. You know, in Isaiah 6:8.
We talked about that last week. Yes.
Whom shall I send?
Yes.
And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Now, each of you have said, here I am, send me.
Yeah. Yes.
Regardless of the task, how many times have either of you gotten out of bed in the middle of the night when the phone rings and someone in a hospital or an emergency situation says, I need your help, Pastor.
Yeah.
And you could say, look, call the local police department, get in the ambulance, don't be a clown, ride to the hospital, call me if you come pick you up. But you don't. You say, here I am, send me. I don't know the number of times that you have answered that call, nor I've answered it.
But we have.
And that's because we chose to say, okay, God, wherever you send us, and there's Pastor Jim sitting in Florida from Chicago.
Right.
Had no idea, probably, that's where he was going to serve.
Yep.
And Pastor Marsha sitting in Indiana with the kids, the grandkids, friends and family, and what does she do? He says, get your fanny down to Florida. And Marsha's going, I don't think I'm going to do this right now. And he says, that's okay. Sit and take as long as you want because I'm not letting you not letting you melt away. I need you.
Right. And, Carol, this is what God is saying right now. He is calling people to get out of their comfort zone and their nice, easy, lazy boy recliner where they have retreated from the call of God. And he is pointing a finger. The Holy Spirit, the hound of heaven, is pointing a finger at people and saying, I need you. That's harvest hands. That's
right.
Carol, I mentioned this morning that because last week on the radio show, we did teach that scripture you just brought up, Isaiah 6, verse 8, and where Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And had Isaiah not said that, Pastor Jim, what would we have been missing in our Bible right now?
The book of Isaiah, including all the prophecies about Jesus' birth and death and resurrection.
And all of Isaiah 53 where it describes his death and the crucifixion and all of that. God wanted, he was tapping Isaiah on the shoulder and saying, I have a job for you to do that only you can do. Carol?
You know, Matthew 24:46 says that when the master comes and finds the servant doing his work, the servant will be blessed.
Matthew 24:46?
24:46.
Yes.
You know, aren't we all blessed?
Yes.
We may not be blessed from the, what people outside might say is blessed, but I have peace of mind. And
yes.
I'll tell you what, there's no money that can buy that.
No, absolutely not.
You know, and I have the abilities to listen to and preach and teach what God has asked me to do. I am blessed. I'm blessed by the people he brings into my life so that I can be the one who said, send me.
Amen. We're going to talk more about this after the top of the hour here where we have to do some station ID. Hang on.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Ah, all those radio stations that we are live on the air right now in those different states. We welcome you to Living the Good Life. Beacon of Hope Ministries is a global ministry, and we are headquartered in Clearwater, Florida, but we have wonderful supporters in a lot of different places around the globe. And so for each of you that listen live and those who catch this show at a later time on our website, that is thanks to Engineer Bill making that possible about a year ago. And Bill, we are very, very appreciative to what you do to record each one of these shows digitally and get them to our webmaster, Maxine in Georgia, by the next day or sometimes tonight you will have it to me, you know.
As Charlton Heston would say, my hands are here for you.
Aww.
I don't know if he said that or not, but I just, you know, since you talked to Charlton Heston.
I think Charlton actually said, Bill, my helping hands are here to fulfill the commission that I feel God.
There you go. Now you know what Charlton Heston said, Bill.
Can I give Carol an applause for that?
Yes, you can. All right. And that is applesauce, and thank you for that. We are so excited about what God is doing. We are getting ready to celebrate. I'm not sure the date yet. I've got to get with everybody and figure out what's the best date in October. But in October of this year is our 10th anniversary as Beacon of Hope Ministries. That's pretty darn exciting. We're going to have some neat things going on that weekend, so we got to get all that finished up and planned and get it on the air, what we're doing, and tell you about that. Because some of you may want to buy a plane ticket and come down. You never know, you know. Yeah,
sure
there you go.
I know that planes do fly. I see them go over my house. So I guess planes are still flying.
Yeah, Carol,
they?
I think it would be great to have you here for our anniversary. So you need to be praying on that. 10 years, and we are in our 5th year on the radio, and that's exciting. Every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we have a new time now. We're starting earlier, and everybody's appreciating that, I think. It's gone very well, the change. And 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and Wednesday night, prayer meeting and Bible study. Carol, you want to describe for them what happens? Because it's the same that was going on when you were here a few years back, and I know you've been in Georgia a while, but Wednesday nights still look the same. So you want to describe that?
I think Wednesday night is a great pick-me-up. It's a midweek when you're, most of the time, I guess, people who work, the midweek becomes a struggle. It's difficult to get up and continue on for two or three more days at your work. So when you can come to a Bible study, as in-depth as it is at Beacon of Hope, and you can rejoice with your friends in the preaching and the teaching that is going on there, and the learning and the sharing of the Word of God, and sharing it as food to your body and to your thought and your soul. If no one has ever done that, they really, really owe it to themselves to attend a Beacon of Hope Bible study and any other function that the Beacon of Hope does, because it is full of the Word of God. And everybody is accepted and wanted. Ideas are shared, and people have an opportunity to speak out and to question and to ask and present their own stories as the lessons might lead that day.
And that is so true, and that's what happened this past Wednesday night. It was just wild, wasn't it, Pastor Jim?
Yeah, it was.
It was just tears everywhere, people sharing. And
you know, when people start to see the Word of God coming true in their own lives, they can't do anything but be joyous.
Exactly.
And the prayers, my goodness, the prayers that Beacon of Hope offer for people that we don't know, that come in on the website at beaconofhopeministries.com, the prayers that people slip in the pieces of paper and hand to members of the congregation, the prayers that are sometimes even taped on the door. You know, we come in, we get those things, we pray about them. It's a praying church.
Amen.
Every moment of person's life stops when those prayers come in.
Exactly.
And thank God for, like, Pastor Jim and Deb, who are so there,
Alice,
in the moment,
yeah,
to present those prayers for people.
Exactly. It's huge. And Pastor Jim, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Who can use that?
Anybody.
Okay.
If you have a prayer request, just send it to that email address. One of us we'll pick it up and send it out to the prayer team. Normally, we attach a prayer. So
right,
we're all praying in unity about whatever the request is. And
right,
then I would like to add also, when, not if, but when your prayer gets answered, send us back a praise report. Because
right,
we just like to have those in kind of, I'm keeping some of the email praise reports that we get in. Just because that's a real faith builder. We can say, okay, we ask you for this, Lord. And you answered.
Right.
And it's just so we can show, yes, God still moves.
Amen.
God answers our prayers.
We last week on this show, we were praying, and the Lord showed me that he was dealing with somebody with kidney cancer. If you remember, I don't know if you heard that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I did get a call from a person last night that her son is dealing with cancer tumors on his kidney, but they have cleared his liver now. And that is a big thing we were praying about for this young man. And the liver is clear now. And so we're moving forward. His name is Charlie. Let's keep him in our prayers. God is doing so much. We got to get a song in here, and then we're going to go back to talking here. Waiting Here for You by Christy Knuckles.
If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. Thank you.
Praise God. Waiting Here for You. I haven't heard that one. That's a good song.
I've heard it.
You've heard that? Really,
yeah, that's a great song.
It's a great song. We are talking today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries about who do we belong to? Who do you belong to? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 44. We've been talking about Moses today and how he started his life, the first 40 years, thinking he belonged to the Pharaoh as his grandson. And then life changed, and for the next 40 years, that season, Moses was actually out in the desert, and really, he found he belonged to the Lord right then. He found that that is what his life was all about. Isaiah 44 verses 1 through 5, maybe a little bit more than that. I don't know. Very interesting that we were talking about this passage today, referring to it. We walked into the radio station in here in the control room for the show a little before 4 o'clock, and Pastor Jim looked at the Bible that is sitting up there on a stand that some shows use, and it is opened to this very passage, Isaiah 44. Very interesting. Only God does stuff like that. So, Pastor Jim, why don't you read Isaiah 44 here for a few verses?
Oh, okay. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring, and my blessing upon your descendants.
Amen.
And they shall spring up among the grass like willows or poplars by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's, and another will call himself by the name of Jacob, and another will write, even brand or tattoo upon his hand, I am the Lord's, the surname, and surname himself by the honorable name of Israel.
Oh, wow. Writing on yourself, belonging to the Lord. Now, today's show, we are talking about how God taps us on the shoulder and says, I want to use you. You know, I've got something for you to do. I want to send you out of your comfort zone. It doesn't always mean, dear one, that you have to go to Africa, you know, and I think a lot of people have thought that for years, but it's not about that. It's being willing to be used of God where you are. Go ahead,
right.
Pastor Jeff.
And moving out of your comfort zone could be telling somebody else that God healed you.
Right.
Could be telling your neighbor or a coworker that, you know, just saying what God has done for you, that can be moving out of your comfort zone.
Absolutely, sharing the goodness of the Lord. And we're talking about what God is looking for in people that he taps on the shoulder. Those that take him seriously and say, I belong to the Lord. That's who I belong to. I belong to the Lord. And this second stage of Moses' life was one that was, we talked about it with Carol a little while ago, probably rather lonely in a lot of ways. It was a time when it was him and God a lot back there on the backside of the desert. Probably his wife and kids weren't around that much.
No.
They were back at the homestead, wherever that was, in Midian. And yet he was out there taking care of these sheep. And like David in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I love the fact that David, Moses, and then Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Mm-hmm. I am the gate, the door to the sheep. All of this. So often, I think that people feel that if they are willing to say yes to God, that it's going to mean that he's going to take them away from everyone they love dearly, everyone they care about, that it will be such a drastic life change that they're not willing to do that. Now, in Moses' case, it was a very drastic change, but it wasn't because, and basically Moses put himself into that stage too by running and fleeing, but it was okay because that was God's plan. Carol, do you have a comment on that, what we're saying here about that time where we separate ourselves unto the Lord?
Well, it's a time when you just finally, I guess, reconcile yourself to the fact that you need to understand what's happening within your own soul.
Right.
And you find a place to bring a solace to yourself and to sit and be able to be quiet and listen to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you find that in different places. Some people find it in the mountains, some by the beach. Some become a shepherd and they tend their flock, whether it's figuratively a flock or whether it really is a flock of animals. And you give there's nothing there to distract you. You're sitting there and you're looking and you're listening and you're saying, Lord, I need to hear you today. I've cleared my mind. I've changed my agenda. I've erased everything on my date book, and I have one word on it, and it's Jesus. And I'm going to give you as long with me today as you need.
And you know, that is
become at that point in time a vessel that is filling up and beginning to understand. And we're beginning to understand the folly of thinking that we can do things on our own.
Exactly.
We can't do anything. I don't care if we've had a partner for 95 years or like my dad. Today is my dad's 96th birthday, had he been alive. You know, you've got to be able to open up your heart and say, I'm ready to hear, I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to do. And be a follower and a person who knows that God is speaking to you, and he wants you to sit silent.
And I totally agree with you, Carol. And sometimes that takes the form of God may take you from one verse of scripture to another. He may turn, you know, you may open your Bible. Sometimes that happens. You open your Bible to a passage and it just hits you in the face. Sometimes what God does with me so often is he speaks to me and I write as fast as I can at the prophetic word. Pastor Jim, comment on what Carol is saying here.
Well, it's never easy to be in the center of God's will.
Why not? Well, why not?
Because getting there can be quite the journey, like we've talked about.
Right.
But plus, I mean, the more we surrender to God, the more he's going to expect of us.
Right.
And sometimes that can be hard. But yeah,
right.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to send you to Africa. He might send you to Florida.
Right. That's good.
And that was fine.
Uh-huh.
But when God works in us, he's preparing us to go forth in power.
Right.
To do whatever he's called us to, whether it's something dramatic like last Sunday service or something subtle like this Sunday service.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be willing to be that vessel of honor.
You know, part of the issue too, Jim, I think, is that because we are human and humans desire companionship of other humans, we oftentimes find ourselves in situations where the journey is extremely lonely. It's extremely lonesome because I don't know that God calls two people together to do the same task. I think God may call a couple, regardless of who they are, to do his task, but it might not be at the same time. It certainly, probably, in all honesty, won't be the same thing.
Right.
And it's difficult to say to a partner, I've been called and I need to go. And that doesn't necessarily mean, like you say, go to Africa. It may mean you need to go out the front door and sit in the yard and talk to somebody.
Amen.
Exactly. Maybe just
Amen.
That simple. And
you know, it can
yes,
be.
Yes.
But when your partner, you know, God speaks very strongly of when you are not equally yoked.
Right.
Under
yes.
his domain.
Right.
And, you know, I've often talked with people who are not equally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
One person feels the strong call of God or the need for God in their life. The other person is like, hey, I don't care. You know, who is he? You know, he doesn't know me anyway. Whatever excuse they offer.
Exactly.
It becomes very difficult for the person who knows they are called to, you cannot please two masters at one time.
And Carol, that is exactly right on. And also, it means sometimes that a person has to make huge changes in their lives to be able to accomplish God's will for them. I'm thinking, as you were talking, of Isaiah 1:19, that same book we're in right now, Isaiah 1:19, and it says this, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. And that is the key right there, if you're willing and obedient, willing and obedient, then you're going to eat the best of the land. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on what Carol was saying?
You have to be willing first and then obey. Because
exactly. If you're not willing, you're in a big peck of trouble.
Right. Well, yeah. But God may show you what to do.
Right.
And you have the choice. You always have the choice.
Right.
To say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. But if you say, no, I won't, that's about as far as God's going to move you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then
I'll tell you what. I don't want to stand up and be egotistical enough to look at God eyeball to eyeball and say, no, I won't.
Right. But people do it every day, Carol.
Oh, they
may not.
They do it every day, but I just don't know how they can live that way because his wrath is enough to scare the socks off of me.
Okay, but you know how they do it a lot of times? And I've been one of these, and I think we've all been guilty of this. We just simply ignore the voice.
That's
we
right.
ignore the pressure that we're feeling in our heart. We ignore the call. I'm stuttering like Moses. We get to a place where we drowned it out with the TV. Nothing wrong with the TV, believe me. But, you know, we drowned it out with other voices. And so we don't hear what God is really saying. And that's the value of being in a church service where the Spirit of God is moving so strongly, because we don't have the TV on at the same time, or we don't have all these other voices going on.
So amazing about Beacon of Hope is so many of the churches that you attend and somebody all of a sudden feels the Holy Spirit move them, or the whole congregation may feel the movement of the Holy Spirit. And in a lot of other churches, people are, quote, embarrassed, unquote, to let go and let God.
Exactly.
Maxine and I were talking about this today, how structured some denominations are that you don't even dare say amen. You walk out of there like you've been slapped in the face with the Bible, but you didn't have the opportunity or the wherewithal to say, I'd like to ask a question or could I make a statement? At Beacon of Hope, the Holy Spirit moves. You mm-hmm. won't see people standing there looking and going, oh, look, they're out in the Spirit. It flows naturally.
It just flows, yeah.
It's like walking into a room of great aroma, and it overcomes you because the aroma of God is so great in there.
Amen.
I wrote a poem one time about the aroma of God and what it is like and how you can smell his fragrance when he enters a room.
Woo.
When Jesus comes into a room, mm-hmm. and this happened at, I wrote this in Tampa, remember the one Sunday, Pastor Mark,
said
the Holy Spirit was so great, we honestly felt we could see him, feel him, touch him.
Right.
Something
fragrance.
Walked past me, and it was wearing white, and I saw just the hem of the garment. It was wearing white, and there was a breeze, and I smelled the sweetness that I'd never smelled before.
Yeah, we had that happen at Cornerstone in Indiana years ago, too. It smelled like roses.
Yeah,
you know.
It was just an awesome thing, you know?
Yes.
And one thing about it, at Beacon of Hope, those events are natural. They're normal. It's an expression that exists within you and Pastor Jim and the rest of the congregation to say, it's okay to be in the Spirit of Christ and feel him and act accordingly.
Wow. And that brings us to this song, Show Me Your Glory, because that is what we want to see, Almighty God.
Show me your glory. Show me your glory. I want to
Praise God, show me your glory. That's what it's all about. Pastor Jim, the ministry that God gives people to do, whether it's in a church, an evangelist, whether it is not with any title at all, just being who they are on a daily basis, it is all about learning to discover the glory of God, isn't it? You comment on that.
I was thinking about that during the song. We ask God, you know, this song is great, to show us his glory, to let his glory rest in us. The people can't help but see that.
Right.
God's glory is not something invisible. I mean, it's what
presence.
It's what led the Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years. It's what fell upon the temple of Solomon and knocked the priests flat out.
That's what happens at times in services.
When the glory of God falls and inhabits us, people are going to see that and things will happen. It's almost like they can't help but happen.
Right.
And that's, I love that. That song is great. That's the first time I've heard that song. But that should be the cry of our hearts. Show us your glory.
Yes.
Let your glory inhabit us. Because by asking that, we're asking just for, you know, God to inhabit us so that we could be his hands, his feet, his mouth, his eyes, you know, so that we could do whatever he's called us to do.
When that is the cry of our heart, the stuff that is us takes a back seat to what is him.
Right.
You know, and the glory of God, when we begin to see him and what his desire is for people, you know, that he wants people healed, that he wants them to realize that he loves them so much. That just like back what God was saying to Moses, he said to Moses, I've heard the groaning. I understand their pain. I want to do something about it. And when we see the glory of God, I know I'm preaching, but that's how I feel right now. When we see God's presence and when we can get a handle on his heart, the heart throb of God, then our ministry becomes effective. When it is just about us and just about how great a sermon I can preach or how great a teaching I can deliver or whatever it is that happens in churches and ministries, we lose sight of the glory. Go ahead, comment on that, and then we'll get to you in a minute, Carol, just a second. Go ahead.
God is best served when we're out of the picture.
Oh,
when,
amen. Amen.
When we just let him do
Absolutely.
What he needs to do.
Yes.
And, you know, I've struggled with that. You know, who doesn't like a nice pat on the back?
Oh, well, sure.
Your teaching was so good. You know so much.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's only because of God and
yes.
You know, that's where I have to be aware of, you know, where Satan would like to, you know.
Oh, of course. Oh, no. He's all the time trying to,
You're
yeah,
so good.
Tell us. Yeah, that was really good.
But it's also part of being a bond servant, a slave.
It is. It is.
Moses, or God gave Moses the commandment that if, you know, if you had to hire yourself out to pay off a debt.
Right.
To, you know, fellow Hebrew, fellow Israelite. After that was done, you could, you know, if you think the master is so, it is good to you, you could become a bondservant, which means they took you, put your ear to the doorpost and drove an awl through it,
mm-hmm.
So that you literally became part of the house.
Right.
And at that point, you give it all up. You give up your rights. You give up.
I surrender all.
It's again, yeah. It's I surrender all. It's saying I'm your slave.
Yes.
I have no rights.
Right.
I have, you know, I'm just here to do your will. And that's what God ultimately wants of each one of us.
Absolutely. It's that surrender, surrender, surrender. Carol, you want to comment on all that?
Yeah. I think too often the world beats us up and we accept it.
Yeah.
Instead of seeking his glory. And I'm reminded, as y'all were speaking, I was reminded of the song, "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord."
Right.
Tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. And
right.
I would sing, but then Bill would cut the radio off and it would be a pointless moot at
right.
thing at that point. But the world beats us up. And
right.
we have to seek the glory. We have to be able to shine the glory
yes.
through what we do on a daily basis.
Yes.
Simply living the scriptures. And understanding our positions with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, people do see it, Pastor Jim. They see it in your countenance. They
mm-hmm.
see it in your behavior. They see it in your faith. It's a faith-building thing that takes place little by little by little that we can enjoy and go and do and rely on the, you know, persevering through the darkness of life. We need to plug our batteries back into the power source, and that is God through the Son, Jesus. You know, we reflect on Scripture to give us hope and to give us peace and to bring us a degree of mercy and certainly love. And if we don't have any of those things, it's going to show in the way we act, behave, preach, and teach. So even in the darkest, direst part of our circumstances, God is there. We may not understand the lessons from it at the moment things are happening, but surely we will.
And I agree with you, Carol, and it's all about who do you belong to? Okay, because when
you
read
in the book of John gives us two invitations. Come and see and follow me.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, when we come and see, we go to Beacon of Hope, we go to a Bible study, we go to a scripture session, we go to powerful prayer or faithful leaders, all of those things, and we come and we see and we
come and
seek.
See. Yeah.
We
exactly.
seek to know more. We seek to do better. We seek to become his glory on earth here so that we can bring his children to him. You know, at this point in what we're doing, I'm continuously going back to the Great Commission in Mark 28, you know,
right.
16 through 20.
Right. Yes.
You know, when it says the disciples went to Galilee, that's what we are. We're
right.
disciples of
right.
Christ. We're his extension here on earth through his calling us, through his educating us, through his standing with us through the thick and thin and our stubbornness and hard-headedness. He still saw reason to call us. He still saw reason to ordain us in his spirit. And then he says, all authority in heaven on earth is given to me. And then, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded.
Amen.
And surely I'm with you always to the very end. If we can remember that as Christians and take that into our world,
that's
even
it.
In the joyful spots and the spots that aren't so nice, we need to be there. We need to be in the prisons. We need to be in the alleys where people are laying just like garbage and people walking over them like they don't exist. These are human beings. We need to reach down and say, brother, sister, come with me. There's a word for you to hear. The God that loves me and sustains me loves you as much or more than he loves me at this very moment, because you're lost, honey, and I'm not.
Well, that is exactly right, and that's what Harvest Hands is all about. Mm-hmm. But I've got to take us back. Thank you for going to the Great Commission, Matthew 28. That is great. Isaiah 44 again. Let's go back there to verse 3 a moment, because this is what the Lord says, the one who formed you in the womb. Verse 3, I'll pour water on the thirsty land. And that is what God is doing now by his Spirit in these days, because people are thirsty. Some of them may not realize they're thirsty, and some of them may not have any clue that God is calling them to be one of his, and yet there's something going on in them. And you, dear Harvest Hands, all of us are going to start running into these kind of people that really are thirsty for the things of God. And they're going to spring up like grass in a meadow. One will say, I belong to the Lord. This is going to start happening. I declare this prophetically right now. People are going to begin to say, I belong to the Lord. Pastor Jim, comment on all that Carol was saying and all of this. Your turn.
Okay. It's just, it amazes me that God, well, and I think the Great Commission, Carol, is such a wonderful example. He doesn't call us to do something without giving us the power and the authority
Amen.
To do it.
Amen.
In the Great Commission, he said, all authority has been given to me, and he passed that on to us.
Exactly.
So he doesn't call us to do things we can't do. That would be cruel, and we do not serve a cruel God. So when he calls us, he empowers us.
Yes.
And Pastor, you're right on with Isaiah 44. There are people out there so hungry. And on our way, I mentioned my partner and I went to Gulfport last night. We drove down 49th Street, and there's a lot of like psychic shops on 49th Street. And I said, yes, isn't it odd that here, you know, the buckle of the Bible Belt, we have so many of those. But then again, it's because there's a spiritual hunger out there.
There
is that the church,
spiritual hunger. I do believe
the
that.
The church in general is not feeding.
Yes.
And because of that, people are looking to the false religions. They're hewing out, as Jeremiah said, their own cisterns.
Yeah.
You know, they can't really hold water because the church is not supplying the power.
That's it.
The church is not meeting those needs, and in the church in general, I might say, not Beacon. But because of that, people are looking anywhere they can. So once the church as a whole begins to submit to God and surrender and let God empower the church for what he called it to do.
Exactly.
It's going to be like a giant rising up, and people are going to take notice, and people's spiritual hunger will be satisfied.
And they will start writing on their hands, I belong to the Lord. Yes. Amen and amen. That's what we're talking about. And one will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, the Lord's. And, you know, this is what God is calling. He is calling for people to be that sold out for him, to be that surrendered, to say, wait a minute, God, I'm going to spend time like you want me to do, listening to you and talking to you. And I'm going to talk and I'm going to wait on you to respond to me. And he will do that. He really will talk to you. Carol, you have a comment on that before we get to this next song?
Oh, goodness. I could preach that verse. I know a hungry group of people, and they're so desperately hungry, and they've fallen more times than one for a wolf in sheep's clothing. They're so hungry for the word. They're so hungry to be told, I love you, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And I think that's what Pastor Jim is saying. We're in a dry, barren land.
Yeah.
But we have people who are crawling through that desert,
yeah,
carrying that proverbial hump of a camel on their back, a until the water runs out. And then they try to find an oasis, and then they fill up on whatever that oasis is offering in the way of preaching, teaching, or whatever they want to call it at that point. And then they realize it's not true, it's not faithful, it won't sustain them, so they have to crawl on their hands and knees again with the wind blowing in their face, the sand in their eyes, their water supply running out. And they realize that they've depleted, so they seek another water hole, another place where they think they can hear the word of God and renew and rebuild themselves. And once again, it's a barren land. So they're hungry. So that's why the church of now, of today, must be prevalent to the people who are reaching out and seeking
the living water
of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that's what Beacon of Hope offers, the living water of Jesus Christ. I dare say, how many people do we know within hearing distance of our voices right now are raising their hand and going, hallelujah, amen, Jesus.
Amen.
Because they were hungry. They were in that barren desert. And as Pastor Jim says, they want it. They are desperate for it. People, we're living in precarious times. And for those of you listening out there who don't think we are, start listening, start reading, start praying for the nations of the world to come to
exactly.
God in a way that they've never done before. It's our only hope. It's our only salvation.
Amen. Pastor Jim, you've got Psalm 63 in front of you. Talk about that.
Psalm 63, one carol, it goes right along. O God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and is faint for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And in the beginning of that, in my Bible, it says it's a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. You know, and the desert time. There are so many of you out there right now who are saying, I want to be what God wants me to be. I really do. I'm just really not sure how to go about it. And it starts with the willingness, because Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. So it starts with your heart. And our intention today on the radio was really to talk about the fact that God looks at our heart. We really never got there. But why was David such a man after God's heart? Because God looked at his heart and saw his motives.
Right.
You know, he saw what he was really like. You know,
Pastor Marcia, I think we have gotten there.
Well, maybe we have.
We've been able to open up to people what they might need to hear.
Yes.
So that they don't continue to walk in that barren desert, crawling on their knees from oasis to oasis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think we have reached the point
that God
really wanted us to bring today. Because
I agree with that.
You know, I think we have actually watered some of the flock.
Okay. Look at verse 2 of Proverbs 21. This verse really hit me yesterday. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the hearts.
Yep.
God examines our motives, it says in the Message Bible. God examines our motives. God is looking for harvest hands who will say, okay, God, you can work on my motives. You can work on my heart. Pastor Jim, you had a comment to that before we go to this next song.
Well, yeah, it's I like this verse because in our own eyes, in our own power, in our own thought patterns, our ways are right. But the Lord looks beyond that.
Yes, he does.
And, I mean, there are sometimes people that maybe don't act the way we think they should.
Right.
Like David.
Right.
You know, David did some pretty awful things.
Right.
But yet his heart.
Right.
God weighed and tried his heart.
Amen.
And David's heart was right before God. Yes.
Yes.
He did sin terribly.
Yes.
Well, so did Moses. You know?
Right.
The other Abraham.
Right.
Abraham lied to keep.
Right.
You know, to keep, you know, he thought he was doing the right thing, but trying to protect Sarah, but he lied in order to do it. So,
right.
But God weighed their hearts.
Exactly.
And yeah, they all did have to confess those sins. I'm not saying you can get away with that, but you know, David confessed his sin. We have Psalm 51. Which
exactly.
Is his
beautiful
confession.
Psalm. Yes.
But God knew, okay, this was not. David's heart was not black.
Right.
It was not blackened. It was, yeah, he messed up, but his heart was such that he confessed it.
Right. And because of his great love for God and God's great love for him. And that's what all this is about. When we say, I belong to the Lord, we do that because we love God. You know, when you get married, you know, and you exchange rings, you are saying, I love you. Here is a token of my love for you with this ring. And when we say to God, I belong to you, you know, I belong to you. You're my God and I'm your child. That's going out there on a limb of saying, I want everybody to know I belong to you. And it's because of the power of his love. And this Hillsong song is one of my favorites, The Power of His Love. God that controls us, should control us.
Amen.
And when we belong to the Lord, I mean, it is a matter of saying, God, I love you so much. The power of your love working on the inside of me gives me the motivation to want to talk to people about Jesus. Amen. And want to pray for them, want to wake up in the middle of the night and pray for somebody whose face comes before me. I want to do that because it's the power of your love that causes me to want to teach the word and to share what God is doing in my life. It's the power of his love. And God is calling harvest hands in these last days. He is raising up a group of people who will say, it's your love that controls me. It is your love that is so strong on the inside of me that makes me want to share what God is doing in my life, that makes me want to tell about that healing or that miracle or that answer to prayer financially or whatever it is. It's the love of God on the inside of us That's what it is.
Amen. And especially as we draw closer to the end of this age, one of the signs is going to be because of the increase of lawlessness and, of course, just everything else that goes on. The love of many, and I think it's talking about Christians there, will grow cold. Well, we need to always, always just rest in his love and understand that his love is poured, is shed abroad in our hearts.
Oh, Romans 5:5. I love that verse.
Because we can, love is a power.
It is.
You know, it's powerful. And by talking about what he's done, by just sharing everything you said, a healing, a miracle, a financial miracle, whatever, people are going to know, yeah, there is a God. He's personal and he loves me.
Amen.
You know, love is the most powerful force in the universe. Most people think that hatred is powerful, and it has probably eluded a lot of people into believing that. But the most powerful force in the universe, of course, is love, and the love of Jesus Christ toward us and us toward other
Amen.
People.
Amen. Amen. It is. Carol, sum up what you'd like to say here. We're getting down on our time, but I got to tell you something, Carol, while you're getting ready to do that. That this morning during my sermon, I grabbed a Sharpie out of the little plastic container I have because I write on my board a lot, especially on Wednesday night, as you know. And Alice was sitting on the second row, and I had her write on my hand, belonging to the Lord. And Pastor Jim, I think your hand says something here similar too, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
it says Yahweh.
It says Yahweh on his hand right now. And Carol, we are at a point in our lives where God is calling out harvest hands who will say, I belong to the Lord. Give us your final comments here, by the way.
Well, my final comment probably comes from Isaiah 44:21-23, and the basic paraphrasing it is that God calls his people to clear awareness of his glorious grace.
Ooh, amen.
And I know I've been called to a clear awareness of his glorious grace as of each of you sitting there.
Whoa, what verse is that? Isaiah 44 what?
Isaiah 44:21-23. That was just a brief synopsis of it.
Wow.
But
yeah.
He calls us, and we finally, in our stupidity of life and understanding who we really are, what we really are, we finally begin to open our ear, and we incline our ear to hear the voice. I hear the shepherd calling me more and more each day.
Amen.
And as a former shepherd, I know the power of a voice to command and to call with gentleness and love and sincerity and great joy. And if I could sit around my ranch again with my animals all around me, they knew my voice, and they responded to it with loving kindness.
Mm-hmm.
I know his voice. I've heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And every night now before I go to sleep, because I do have the profound deafness in my right ear now, I always say, Father, if there's something I need to know, if I need to be awakened, please have the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear. Now, you've heard the whisper. Pastor Jim has heard the whisper.
Yes.
I've heard the whispers. Nan has heard the whispers.
Yes.
And that's all it takes.
Right.
When we recognize it's the Master's voice, it's a simple, clear whisper that says, come to me.
Amen. Woo! Good stuff. Carol, we love you. Thank you for being a supporter and active radio team member now for so many years. You are such a blessing. God bless you. And Pastor Jim and I will finish up here, but thank you so much for your words of wisdom this day. I guess that white hair is good for something, right?
Well, you know what they say, white hair comes with wisdom, or maybe it's still seeking wisdom, but at least I have a few experiences to draw on. So.
That's exactly right. Thank
bless
you.
All of you. May his peace resound within your hearts.
Thank you so much.
You.
We love you, and we will talk to you later. Pastor Jim, woo, comment on all this. What do you want to say here before we do our wrap-up?
I was actually drawn to Isaiah 43, the first couple of verses.
All right. We're all right there, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you.
Mm-hmm.
I have called you by your name.
By your name.
You are mine.
Mm.
When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
I've always loved that passage.
I just love that.
In Indiana, our dear Joan and her brother Lloyd probably remember that this passage, those few verses, was Joan and Leonard's daughter Joetta's favorite passage. And she passed away of cancer in 1991. And I remember how important those verses were to her, that she stood on those, even though I'm going through this and passing through these difficult times. You know, that God would be right there with her, and he was, and that she wasn't afraid. She wasn't afraid. And I've never forgotten that those were Joetta's verses. Go ahead, Pastor Jim, do your wrap up here.
Well, that, you know, those verses kind of say it all. I've called you by your name.
Mm-hmm.
God knows us intimately.
Amen.
And he says, you are mine.
Yes.
And again, Pastor, you've said it before out of earlier in Isaiah, if we just submit to his call, he's so good, and he will bless us.
Exactly. And he will. Absolutely. He's got the plan for our lives.
Amen.
And he knows what he wants to do in each of our lives. And we need to be getting serious about this. I belong to the Lord.
Amen.
I belong to the Lord. Woo, it's been a powerful show.
Amen.
And it went a different direction than we thought, but it always does, doesn't it?
I'm so surprised.
Woo, praise God. If you did not catch last week's show, Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God, Part 1, this was Part 2 today. You need to go back and listen to that show. It was very powerful. Go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to the radio section of our website, and you'll find the date, and it was August 14th last week, that show, and listen to that, and it'll catch you up on what we're talking about and teaching here on Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God. Do you have any last comment on that? Or you
just praise God.
Praise God. All right. Okay. God's got so much in store for you. Dear one, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7, prayer meeting at 6:15 on Wednesdays. We have an in-depth teaching called Faithful Leaders. If you're interested in any of that, write us, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you need prayer for anything, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Send your requests. We will answer you. We will pray for you, and we will be excited for you when God answers that prayer, because he will. So, as always, it's been wonderful to spend this time with you here on the air every Sunday live from 4 to 6 in Clearwater, Florida, in the radio station here at TANTALK1340.com. God bless you. Have a great week. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, our dear friend Carol the Deacon up in Georgia, and all of you that tune in regularly. God bless you. Have a great week. We're going to see you next Sunday at 4 o'clock. Blessings.